Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
In this audio cast number 14, we find out if the exorcism on that woman wriggling on the floor like a snake worked. Well, all you gotta do is
listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And for this appetizer, I just want to let you know that I'm sorry that I didn't give you the second half of the interview last week. I just kind of held a carrot dangling in front of your face so that you could be more excited to hear how the story unfolds and how it ends with a woman who was certainly possessed. And whether or not the exorcism works, if she's been freed from the evil one. But, you know, in this appetizer and little amuse-bouche, I couldn't help but to reflect that even last week, while I might have sounded like a little dork, laughing at some of these very frightening things that might have been my defense mechanism, but more importantly, as the priest told me, the fact is, if we don't laugh about these things, we will only cry about them and, in a sense, lose hope. Fact is, we gotta have a sense of humor, and we gotta be, check it out, leaven for the world. You know what leaven is? It's a food ingredient that helps to lighten things up. And I just know that when we talk about evil, you know, there's a lot of fear that can just kind of overwhelm us and just take us over. And, you know, last week when I mentioned how my mom had all of the children, even me at a very young age, watch the movie The Exorcism, she didn't do me irreparable damage. She actually gave me a great foundation. Why? Because I know that evil is real. Very, very real. And sometimes my spidey sense tingles when I kind of sense that there is evil happening in the world. And probably the best way that we can respond to evil is, first of all, not be afraid. And secondly, laugh at it, knowing that as much as the evil is going to try to conquer and win, it can't. Jesus already destroyed death, destroyed evil itself. All we got to do is trust. And if you don't believe me, well, then just sit back and listen to our deep dish discussion when we come back with more Shoot the Shiitake, interviewing an exorcist by me, your host, Father Leo. We'll be back in a moment. As a continuation of last week's program, this episode is brought to you by an anonymous donor. So first of all, I know who you are, but I want to thank you for your generous donation to make shows like this possible. And this anonymous donor wanted nothing more than to encourage all of our listeners to frequent and to support their local Catholic bookstore. It's easy. All you got to do is Google local Catholic bookstore near me. And whether you're an absolute storefront, or if you are working out of a church or a parish hall, whatever you are doing it for the kingdom of God, supplying sacramental objects, religious reading. Many places even have my books, and so I want you to make sure to go and visit them. Why? Because they also have information and inspiration to fight against evil. So thank you to our anonymous donor who wants to support local Catholic bookstores near you. Google it, find it, and you can definitely find more information and inspiration for your faith.
All right, hit it.
So welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake. I am with Father, I'm not saying his name because he's asked me not to. Although he could reveal himself as an exorcist, out of prudence he doesn't. And he was just telling us the story about how he said this special prayer in Latin with a woman who he had talked to a couple times. And in the second meeting, she manifests a writhing and a wriggling on the floor like a snake. And when you say that, I mean, you said you've never seen anything like this before. I mean, I've seen breakdancers who could do the worm.
I mean, not quite the same.
All right. So can you kind of maybe paint a picture for people? Because I hate to say this, Father, but people are kind of fascinated with evil.
Sure. This was, if you saw this woman on the street, you wouldn't think anything about her. She's a professional woman who had a good job, but who was experiencing some symptoms of evil. And when we had doctors look at her, mental health professionals look at her, we realized that the things that she was experiencing were probably not caused by anything natural, but that there was a supernatural cause. So when I brought her into my office and we did our own little diagnostics, it showed me that here is a woman who was having serious spiritual problems.
How long did this wriggling and writhing on the floor take place?
No more than a minute.
Whoa.
No more than a minute. I mean, it seemed like an eternity, but when I look back now, it was probably, you know.
Was she screaming? Was there noise?
Not that time.
All right, when, so let's get to
when
it
we
then.
Got to
her, you got the holy water and you just sprinkled it on her?
I sprinkled her. I began praying the Hail Mary and she just stopped. And in a sense, it seemed like she went catatonic for a period and not long.
Do you have insurance?
I'm not aware of any exorcism.
Exactly. We are farmers. I mean, but just, I can't imagine if someone wakes up and be like, hey, you know, you're hanging over me and I was unconscious for 5 minutes. Hey, they have no idea what to do. Like, what are your protections?
Well, normally, as I said, whenever I pray over people, I have people there. I was in a room with glass doors.
Okay.
My secretary is close by.
Your secretary saw this?
She didn't see that actual thing. But my office is set up where you can always see things that you can always.
So you're protected.
Right.
So, I mean, I completely respect that because you're in a very vulnerable situation. You're literally entering into people's souls. I mean, and that's kind of where the battle takes place,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you say these prayers, she calms down, and is there, was that it? Was she like, hey, I'm healed?
No. That was just the beginning. That was just the interview.
Oh my gosh,
so
there's
more. There was several sessions. I ended up working with this woman for over a year.
You're kidding me.
No, it took quite a while. There was a lot there. This woman had suffered a great deal of abuse in her life.
Oh, no.
Terrible, terrible, terrible things had happened to her. And she had been forced into some satanic rituals against her will.
Oh, no.
That is
what... Oh, this is just sad to me.
It's very sad. This woman was...
Can you give me an age range? 20s, 30s, 40s?
By the time she got to me, she was in her 40s.
Oh, my gosh. So she has been struggling...
She'd been struggling for 15 or 20 years.
Oh my gosh. She sees you. How many times do you, nothing specific. Again, I want to try to maintain the confidentiality, but about how many sessions is this in a year?
I would say monthly, one session a month.
Is that enough, man? I mean, like, don't you just want to get rid of it? Can't you speed it all up in 12 days?
Again, this was when I was early on in my work. And because I have other jobs, I'm not a full-time exorcist.
Uh-huh.
I have a parish assignment and other things that I do. It's the time to do exorcism every day just doesn't exist in my schedule.
Now, I can imagine some of our listeners saying, you see this woman, she's clearly possessed. Drop everything, cast this demon out. Why would it take a year? I mean, it's like, I feel like I'm at the DMV. It shouldn't take
It's not
long.
That bad. It's not that bad.
Oh, if you want to know about evil, go to a DMV. No, I mean, I'm not trying to pressure you. I'm just simply asking kind of an initial reaction. Why would it take a year?
Because sometimes it just does. I mean, Christ is in charge of when a person gets delivered.
Interesting. Okay.
It's up to our Lord. And He allows people to suffer as long as he wants them to suffer.
Boy, that's a question that people are just going to ask. Well, why would even God allow this to happen in the first place?
Whenever somebody suffers greatly like this, God has allowed it because he wants to draw a greater good from it.
Okay.
And I've seen some very beautiful things happen in people's lives as they've come through this ministry. I had one young man, he was in his 20s, had not even finished high school, had been diagnosed with schizophrenia and all sorts of different things. But just because somebody has a mental health diagnosis doesn't mean that they don't have a spiritual problem. A lot of times, spiritual problems and mental health problems coexist.
Really?
Yes. And
I mean, it probably is one reason why people are almost afraid of some of the mental health issues, because medicine doesn't always take care of it.
I would agree to that. Medicine doesn't always take care of it. And sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. And after, you know, working with this young man for several months, he was able to finish high school. He got a job.
Wow.
He cleaned himself up. He went to college. He got a degree. He got a job. He's really doing well in life now.
Wow, that's pretty beautiful.
It was something that got him onto the right track. And so when I see him now, 5 or 6 years later, after I worked with him, I'm always amazed and so gratified at how well he's done. For most people, the greatest benefit that I see realized is that they've really come to a deeper place in their faith for going through the ministry.
We're going to take a quick break and come right back and learn more about, and even hear the conclusion about what happened with this particular case of a woman wriggling on the floor. We'll be right back with more Shoot the Shiitake in just a moment. Yeah. This week, for our premium subscribers, I release a talk that I gave about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why is this important to me? Well, because I actually have an advanced degree in Mariology. I studied in Rome at the Marianum, and I learned who Mary is and why she is not important, but why she is necessary to understand the Christian faith, and particularly to understand who Jesus Christ really is. And so I gave this talk in honor of an anniversary named after St. Louis de Montfort. He is the saint who wrote the book True Devotion to Mary, and basically for all of those who are willing to help us keep these Shoot the Shiitake shows going and being shared. For just simply $10 each month, this will be showing up in your inbox tomorrow. So thank you to all of our subscribers and to our supporters, and I hope you enjoy this talk on the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we're back after a short break, and I just had to make that little interruption because evil was present, my battery was dying, and so I just had to experience a little conversion and change over. But we're talking with Father X, who is an exorcist, and he is explaining how it really becomes an amazing form of grace for a lot of people.
This ministry is about healing and conversion and evangelization.
That's a big word.
Helping people to know the gospel.
Yeah, the good news that
absolutely,
even though there's evil, there is a force out there greater that can conquer it. And I want to go back to how long it took for this one particular case.
So this woman who had slithered on my floor, it was about a year before she was really delivered of all evil in her life. And it was, we were praying monthly, maybe a little bit more than monthly, but not much more than that.
How long does each session last?
A couple of hours.
You're kidding me. So a couple of hours. Where does this take place? I mean, you see it on TV or in the movies. It's like some room. There's some hooded figures and candles with freaking out statues. And
we were encouraged to do it somewhere proximate to the Blessed Sacrament, if at all possible. That's helpful.
And when you say Blessed Sacrament, we're talking about the hosts that are consecrated
in the tabernacle.
And it's not bread anymore. We believe it really is the presence of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So close to that.
A lot of us exorcists try to do it somewhere in our church or on our church property.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do.
Okay.
And as I mentioned earlier, I always have people present in the room.
How
with
many?
Me. Depends on the case. I may, if it's going to be just a simple prayer that a person's not fully possessed, then I may just have one person or two persons. But
in this case?
In this case, there was a few people in the room. I think three, generally, for a lot of the sessions.
Is she a strong woman?
Well, that's not the issue.
Okay.
That's not the issue. When people exhibit supernatural strength, it doesn't matter if they, of their own accord, are physically strong or not.
Huh.
I was in a case in Italy where a little girl was throwing off grown men.
Oh, my gosh.
So she had four men holding her down, and she was giving them a run for her money, and she was probably 110 pounds soaking wet. So, you know, it doesn't...
You've got to be kidding me.
No. Now, this woman's manifestations were not with supernatural strength, but she had a lot of physical symptoms, pain, movement of strange sensations running up and down her back and around her body, scratches. Sometimes when I would pray, there would be shrieking and animalistic noises coming out of her that were really inhuman. And that's disconcerting.
So now these poor people that you've selected, I mean...
I prep them, I train them.
Are they angry that you've asked?
No,
I mean, it's like, seriously, Father, I mean, is this my penance?
No, they're big-hearted people who understand that this is not the person doing this.
So this is a serious thing, and you've met with this woman about a couple hours every month, and... I'm just going to have to ask, what was the weirdest manifestation? And then how did you know she was freed?
Well, she had some terrible shrieking and, you know, odd movements of her body as we would pray over her. How we knew that she was free was a sense of peace at the end of a prayer. So we're constantly having recourse to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mm-hmm. And asking for help from her. And there, one of my team members has some gifts in that regard, perhaps charismatic gifts, gifts of knowledge that our Lord has used. And we found out the names of the different demons that we were dealing with, and say the prayers, and the woman comes to a sense of peace. I come to a sense of peace. My other team members come to a sense of peace, which is part of the reason why I have space between my appointments, because I keep up with them. How are you feeling this week?
Sure.
How's it
okay,
going
no,
on?
Makes
and,
sense.
And, you know, with this lady, it ended up very peacefully at the end and resolved really with a whimper rather than a bang.
So you said something that's very kind of interesting. You found out what the demons' names are. So in an exorcism, can you tell me what are the parts to the exorcism itself? It starts off with like confession, a prayer. I mean, what does it all begin with?
Well, it depends on whether you use the new form of exorcism or the old form of exorcism.
Okay.
So there's and that's complicated in some ways.
Okay.
But in terms of getting to the names, we question the demons. There are prescribed questions that we put to the demons.
So this woman is sitting there, or she's laying down, or what is it?
She was sitting.
She was sitting, and then you begin like with a prayer. You sprinkle her with holy water? I don't know. I'm asking just because I'm trying to imagine what this session looks like.
In the case of this woman, she did not go through the full-blown rite of exorcism. Mm-hmm. And she was not fully possessed. She had very serious spiritual problems. But we were able, through the use of exorcistic prayers, but without the full formal rite of exorcism, to bring deliverance to her. So one of the things that we do at the beginning is we evaluate where this person is on a continuum of extraordinary evil influence in her life.
So tell me about what those different levels are then.
So all of us experience demonic activity in our lives. We don't like to think of it, but it's true. And the most common ordinary form is just temptation.
Oh yeah, all the time.
So
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not going to lie to you now.
But some people experience a more extraordinary form of evil in their lives, that it may take the place of something going on first in their home.
Okay.
Where they may have something that they see, things get moved around. they hear strange voices or sounds in their home. In terms of people's bodies, they may have obsessive thoughts about something, or they may begin to see things or hear things. I've had a lot of cases of people hearing voices, or they may experience, in more serious cases, scratches or other physical manifestations on their body.
So let me just take it. You've got temptations as kind of like a low level. Mm-hmm. Then the next level is manifestations.
Right, there's different exorcists call things,
sure,
you know, by different terms. But you know, whether people are undergoing an oppression,
or,
oppression, you know, where you're having physical problems, or an obsession, all the way up to an exorcism. And you know, when somebody's fully possessed or in need of an exorcism, we look for different things. So does this person exhibit supernatural strength? Are they speaking in languages that they do not know?
Wow.
Do they have knowledge of hidden things? So, for example, when I've worn a relic on my body that I've hidden, can they point that out and say, hey, I know that you have a relic of St. Jonah Galgani?
Gosh.
Right. And then,
I heard that they can actually pick out, and it's like the one move is like, priest, I know your sins. Like, can they know your sins?
Sure. But not if we've confessed them.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
If we're sorry for them and we've confessed them, they're not allowed to speak about them. They've corrected my Latin.
Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh, it's like that. One of my Latin professors. I knew there was a problem with that guy. No, okay, so this woman was not fully possessed. You would categorize her as obsessed, oppressed?
Yeah, she was undergoing very serious oppression.
Okay.
And I didn't feel like I could do the full rite of exorcism with her because she wasn't really manifesting all of the signs in the way that we normally would want somebody to. So there are different deliverance prayers. There are exorcistic prayers where I use my authority as a priest, acting in the name of the church and in the name of Jesus Christ to drive out the demons.
Okay.
But at the same time, part of the process is not just me giving this person an exorcism. What we want is to bring this person to a level of faith, a level of conversion in their life, because that's really where the deliverance happens. The primary way deliverance happens in the Catholic world is through the use of the sacraments. When people go to confession, when people receive Holy Communion worthily, these things help bring about deliverance from evil.
And so we're coming almost to the solutions here. So we've got, first of all, people who are messing around with things that they shouldn't be messing around with. Mm-hmm. Now, how about if this person was living a purely innocent life? Could they be possessed, overtaken?
Could they be? Yes, if God allows it, but it's much less likely.
Okay, so there's really got to be something that kind of opens that door.
Right. So that goes back to the part where I was talking about, I ask questions to figure out, what have they done, whether innocently or not, to open up a door? So for example, I've had a lot of cases where people played with a Ouija board in high school or in college.
Totally, yeah.
Where it was done innocently and out of curiosity and for fun, but it led to problems later on in their spiritual lives. Or people will dabble with something like Wicca or playing a game like Dungeons and Dragons.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
That's like Stranger Things, the movie. Yeah. So these seemingly innocent things. Now, the Ouija boys always freak me out. Anything that has to do with anything with witches freaks me out. But something seemingly supernatural like Dungeons and Dragons can be a vehicle?
Can be a vehicle. I've had a lot of cases where people have been involved sexually with somebody who was a witch.
Oh, gosh. That's
or involved
gross.
In the occult or involved in Satanism. And that is always a definite problem.
So there are many ways that people can kind of creep a door open. Mm-hmm. And then they'll come to you. They get a, because I'm just going through the process. They'll get an evaluation. If it is deemed correct, do you have to get permission to do an exorcism or something?
To do an exorcism, yes, I call the bishop. If I have a case where I believe the person needs the full rite of exorcism.
And the full rite is, how much longer, how much more intense?
Well, it's more structured, but the sessions are the same. Okay. So I would still go at it for a couple of hours, but more intense, definitely more intense.
Okay.
And requires more prayer, fasting, and preparation. So there's a whole preparation that I, as a priest, undertake before I ever step foot into the room where I do the work.
Okay. Well, this is kind of fascinating, and it's actually saddens me in a way to know that people are somehow afflicted and that evil has taken over. But it also gives me hope that people like you are kind of jumping into it and trying to deal with it. Now, give us some practical ways to avoid it, besides don't play with Ouija boards.
Well, first of all, practice your faith.
Like any faith.
Your faith. I would say, no, be Christian.
Oh, okay.
Be Christian.
So Muslims, Jews, be Catholic.
you want to live a life of integrity for certain. I'm never going to say to people who are not Catholic, well, just be the best non-Catholic that you are. No, the fullness of the truth lies in the Catholic Church. And it's important, though, that you have faith in Christ if you want to be protected from evil. And he's the one who delivers us. Having, for Catholics, a devotion to Our Lady, being faithful to going to Mass,
yep,
and going to confession.
Sure.
Confession is incredible. Remember, confession is even more powerful than an exorcism. It's been said,
wow,
rightly so, that the devil fears a good confession more than he fears an exorcism, because of the power that exists in that sacrament. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, admit our sins, and ask for our Lord's forgiveness,
mm-hmm,
that's a very powerful thing, and it closes off the doors to the devil.
All right.
And so praying the rosary daily and devoutly for a Catholic.
So there's a lot of traditional things that a lot of people maybe
absolutely
don't do anymore, and you as an exorcist would recommend it.
Do it, but even more than that, or along with that, I should say, is amend your life. Follow the Ten Commandments. Live as God would have you live.
Mm.
It's so important. Live a life of Christian integrity. Turn away from the ways of the world. Be faithful to Christ.
And now you're starting to sound like Yoda. And in a way, I mean, if you are one of those Star Wars people, it is funny because the dark side is real. But there is certainly a hope. And Father, you've shed a great light for me and many of the listeners, I'm sure, that evil is real, but there is hope. And if there's anything that we can be doing for you, I mean, people aren't going to know your name, but
just pray for all priests and lay people who are involved in this very important ministry.
Because
in the church.
It can screw you up too, right?
I mean,
we've read cases. It's been on the news where someone who was an exorcist actually really messed up.
Lost the priesthood over it. Yes, that's happened.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. So you're literally on the front lines of something kind of beyond explanation.
Pray that we can remain humble servants of Christ.
All right. Yeah, and the other thing I'm going to be praying for is that no more wriggling people on the floor.
Thank you.
Listen, when we come back, I'm going to share with you my carry-out order. How did this affect me? How is this going to change me? And how am I going to walk away from this conversation, hopefully a better, wiser, and more spiritually-minded person when we return with more Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. Yeah.
As you all know, I love taking people around the country and around the world on just exclusive experiences of faith and culture. And this October 1st through the 11th, I'll be leading a retreat, and it's only going to be for 25 people, so there'll be great opportunities to stay connected, to get to know each other better, and also to move around the areas of Emilia-Romagna, the Piedmont area, as well as Tuscany. You all know these as beautiful places in Italy, but they're also food and faith capitals for sure. And there we'll actually have our own private villa, in fact, your own individual villa, at this hotel resort where we can simply enjoy each other's company, learn about their culture, and of course, I'll be cooking some of your meals so you'll learn their cuisine, but most important, you'll understand why there are so many saints that come from Italy. So join me October 1st through the 11th, 2018, and simply call 800-842-4800
800-842-4842. That's 800-842-4842. Select international tours or find the information at fatherleofeeds.com/travel and see you in Italy. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, with my carry out order. You all know that this part of the show is where I reflect on what I learned from my interview, and in this week, with an exorcist. Full disclosure, I've known this priest for many, many years. And to be honest with you, when he shared with me that he was asked to be the diocesan exorcist, I kind of freaked out for him because I know a thing or two about what exorcists have to go through. Yep, I saw that movie. I mean, it's pretty frightening. And I've always had a healthy fear of evil. And the reason why I have a healthy fear of evil is because if I think that I can kind of protect myself against it on my own power, then boy, I'm an idiot. You have to almost be like a child willing to run to the arms of Holy Mother Church, who can protect us, which is why, you know, you probably heard in one of my commercials that I have released for all the premium subscribers. That's for people who are willing to donate $10 or more each month. In your inbox the next day, you get a link for a SoundCloud talk, whether it's an extra interview. And in this case, I do a talk on the Blessed Virgin Mary because I do have a degree in Mariology and I give talks around the country and around the world to show who Mary is. And I always talk about Mary as literally a warrior. And it's so interesting that, you know, in fighting against evil, the ritual for exorcism calls upon saints and angels, and in particular, as kind of like a closer, the Blessed Mother, who kind of gives us peace. You know, she's called Our Lady Queen of Peace. Why? Because Jesus is Prince of Peace. Hello, you can't have a prince unless you got a queen, right? And so Mary is the Queen of Peace, and her role shows up quite a bit in the scriptures in very significant moments in Jesus's life as someone who does give peace. Just for example, you know, the angel Gabriel approaches her in Nazareth and she says yes, and boom, all of a sudden the church recognizes that this woman has opened up the doors to peace. She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant and she was old. And what does she do? She goes and she brings the peace of Christ to this old pregnant lady. That is a peacemaker. That's why Mary is key. Look, just think about Mary and Jesus's first miracle at the wedding feast of Cana, where there was tremendous anxiety on the part of the bride and groom. And just by her question and her comment to the servants, "Do whatever my son Jesus tells you," boom, we get the best of wine. And what happens? Everyone is peaceful. And obviously, with all of that awesome wine, very cheerful. And then, of course, you see a very, and by the way, those are Mary's last words. Those are Mary's last words, all recorded in scripture. And I think the final times that we see Mary is obviously at the foot of the cross, holding her dead child Jesus in her arms, also known as the Pietà, a word that means not only pity, but piety. And there's a sense of peace there. You know, I can only imagine. I remember watching the Mel Gibson movie when Jesus dies, like he conquers evil and, you know, the devil in that movie. Boy, that was a freaky rendition of or version of evil. I mean, and it was pretty accurate because it was like a she, he, it. And by the way, folks, don't say that fast. But basically the devil, the devil is like this thing that you can't even recognize if it's a woman, it's a man. You know, that's why I always say whenever we talk about the evil one, we can't talk about it only in male pronouns. We have to also say that the devil could be just as much of a she as it is much of a he. But anyway, but at the moment when Jesus dies, it kind of pans down to like hell and you see this evil thing just screaming at the top of her lungs. And then of course, Mary is at the foot of the cross. Why? Because she is there to give Jesus peace and comfort. And then finally, Mary shows up in the Acts of the Apostles, where she actually kind of in the upper room after the resurrection and just at the start of the persecution of Christians, because, you know, there were Jews and Romans who didn't want people to know that Jesus rose from the dead. She's in the upper room, and it's because of her, the Holy Spirit comes upon her once again and creates this Pentecost experience where everyone is speaking in tongues and they're filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And of course, Mary is there. Why am I going on a few minutes about Mary? Well, because if you were listening, and this is true for just what I heard with Father saying, Mary is a great weapon against evil. And I know that that might sound strange, but it makes perfect sense. Why? Because there is no force greater than the force and love of a mother to protect her children against evil. It's just like a natural instinct for a mother to protect children from evil, especially beginning in the mother's womb. But unfortunately, there is attack on motherhood. And the reason why I say this is because when I was studying in Rome for my degree in Mariology, there was a course or a set of classes dedicated to Mary in film. And what I discovered in this was something quite shocking. I discovered, and what, you know, they discovered, was that when evil would grow, there would always be an attack on women, attack on the figure or the image of woman. And that is pretty shocking. Why? Well, because women, according to St. John Paul II, are the feminine genius of God because only they can bring life into this world physically. I mean, I know that there are surgeries out there. I get it. But guess what? Biology, because it was created by theology, has a definite structure and a plan, an order. And that's exactly what the devil doesn't want to follow. The order of God, the logic of the theos. The devil doesn't want to follow theology. And so theology teaches us that Mary is key to fighting against evil. I mean, the history of our church has shown that the rosary was the grace, so to speak, or the strength to help conquer wars. We wanted to destroy the Catholic faith, you know, against the Turks, against the Muslims, against even other non-Catholic Christians. Like, you know, at one point, Protestants and Catholics used to fight all the time. And they say that, you know, one of the reasons why forces rallied was because of the image of Mary, the mother, which is why she, in a sense, is that person who was invoked during the ritual of exorcism to kind of bring a sense of peace to it all. You know, it's kind of interesting that Father mentioned technology. He didn't actually mention technology. I actually mentioned technology because the reason why I even took a short break, I mean, I only interviewed Father in the second half for like 7 minutes and I had to stop. And let me tell you why. Because the battery sign on my recording device kept going from full to empty, full to empty, full to empty. And that's never happened before. And that kind of freaked me out. So I just thought, you know, instead of losing this content, I'm going to shut this down, change the battery over and continue recording. And I mentioned to Father, I'm sorry, I put in fresh batteries and I don't exactly know what was happening here with my recorder because the battery life was going from, again, full to empty. And he said, oh, Leo, that's very typical because the devil loves to mess with technology. Ugh, that just sent shivers up my spine, people. That freaked me out. Because it was strange because even when I was listening with my headphones on to the recording, it sounded like Father was super loud and I couldn't actually turn his volume down on my recording. But boy, when I heard the recording again, he sounded crystal clear and I sounded far away. So if this is true, that the devil loves to mess with technology, I'm going to tell you one other thing that just kind of freaks me out a little bit. After I recorded the first show on the exorcism, I was getting ready to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, my TV turned on nice and loud for like 15 seconds, walked out, and I saw like the end as the TV just kind of shut out on its own. I was asleep, people. Why would my TV in my living room, there was nothing touching it, just turn on all loud? Yeah, it kind of got me scared. Yeah, it really kind of freaked me out a little bit that what I'm doing is trying to promote the Catholic faith, and there's obviously going to be forces that don't want me to do it. But you know what? Even though the devil's going to mess with technology, I don't care anymore because, again, theology created technology. And why? Because technon is all things new, the logic of all things new. And you know what theology is? It is not only ever ancient, according to St. Augustine, theology is also ever new, ever ancient and ever new. So what I'm encouraging people to do is making sure that technology is being used for also theological reasons. If not, the devil can work through that and infect our minds and actually possibly open or create an aperture, an opening for evil to come in. You know, and so fact is, evil has a lot of ways to enter into us, and we've got to be very, very careful with how we are using technology in all things and making sure that we use it for theological reasons and not just biological or sociological reasons or psychological reasons, but also for godly reasons. Another thing that I learned here was that in order to fight against evil, you can't do it alone. I mean, he had to find a team of people to help him. And I was joking with him, and thank God he has a sense of humor. I asked him, you know, like, how do you pick these poor people and what do they say? Well, I'll be very honest with you. If anyone ever asked me to do an exorcism, I would be really scared to do it. But at the same time, I would at least be honored that they would be willing to ask, because that meant that somehow this priest, this exorcist, saw something in me, which is namely a desire to love our brothers and sisters who were afflicted with this evil, that they saw something in me or saw something enough in me to want to help. I mean, and who wouldn't want to help? I mean, if we see like someone who's afflicted, laying on the floor, and they're kind of dying, don't you want to help? I mean, who knows what like some of the homeless people are going through. I try to do what I can to help them. And if we are asked to somehow participate and to help in this fight against evil, I would hope that we would do it. And why? I think President Reagan said this in talking about evil of communism and, of course, governments that are very oppressive. He said, evil will win if the good are afraid. Or actually, no, he said that in more in the negative. He goes, evil will never win if the good are not afraid. So these team of people who help Father are really, in a sense, superheroes. They are willing to step out of their comfort zone. And even though they may be surprised to be asked, you know, to help hold down some 110-pound girl who can throw like three or four huge guys off of her with some strength, that their strength isn't going to come from lifting weights, but from spiritual exercises. And so this idea of a team of people who are there to help, you know, folks, you got to know this. I can't do what I do alone. I need your help. I need your spiritual strength. So please support us in any way, especially with prayers. But let's also realize that God works also in the temporal world. So your temporal gifts, like your generosity, that helps us to put shows out here and hopefully helps you not only grow in your faith, but gives you the ability to listen better, which is the whole point of this show. And you know, it was really interesting in this is the idea that one of the steps in the exorcism is to get the devil to tell the exorcist its name. Why? Because I think what we have to do in this Shoot the Shiitake movement, in this show, and basically my whole Plating Grace movement, is to get each other to know ultimately what our name is. And our name is Christian. Our name is the follower of Jesus Christ. Our name is child of God. Our name is brother and sister to all of our fellow humans because they're all made in the image and likeness of God. It's almost as if the exorcist is trying to goad or trying to provoke the evil spirit to say, who are you so that I can tell you to your face to leave this person's body and soul? And this idea of naming is why we should never name call. I think that if we, I mean, and I do it all the time, so please don't think I'm kind of acting like holier than thou, but you know, name calling, I think it is something that we've got to watch in our own life. And you know, because I think it is part of the evil that does infect us. What we have to do is recognize who we are, because the stronger our recognition of ourself may be, the more appropriate we'll be able to recognize others. Like Saints were always able to see even a prostitute as a child of God. A saint would be able to see someone who was a pious fraud. They kind of wore the shepherd's clothing, but they were cynical and sinful on the inside. Saints knew who they were as sinners, which is why I lead you to my last carryout order. He said that a good confession is stronger than an exorcism. And I think in a confession, and this is why I'm encouraging people to just be honest with themselves, because the truth sets you free, and the most truthful place you can be is in a confessional. You recognize two things. One, that I am a sinner. Two, that I'm called to be a saint. That those are the truths of our name. We are sinners, yet striving to be saints. And if people kind of give up that fight to become a saint, then I think we open ourselves up to greater evil. And so there's a lot here, everybody, and I know that there's more for you to learn. That's why, guess what? You can continue to listen to these shows again and again and again. And please, I ask you to subscribe. Just go to the platform that you listen to podcasts the most. Subscribe, and these shows will go free to your inbox. Please share it with friends, family, with your pastor, with fellow parishioners, because the more people listen, the more we'll be willing to build bridges with conversation rather than building walls from each other. And one word, namely Mary's yes, can help bridge the realm of God's grace to a sinful world. So please share. That's just what Christians do. And then finally, please support us in our movement. Yes, God works with your prayers. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for that. But we also know, especially in exorcism, that as evil works in the temporal, physical world, so can grace, which is why your support, just $10 a month or even more, and that way you can get even more content, will help to support us. So we hope you enjoyed this episode, the second part of the interview with an exorcist here on Shoot the Shiitake, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week with more great conversations that lead to conversion. But in the meantime, everybody, stay hungry. And we hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. And this was brought to you by an anonymous donor. So thank you. I know who you are, and I can't thank you enough. And this anonymous donor just wanted to remind everybody to make sure they support, visit, and patron the Catholic bookstore near you, where you can not only get great resources, information, and inspiration, but also get great gifts like sacramental opportunities and objects for your home, for your family, and also for your friends. So please make sure you visit your local Catholic bookstore. Thank you to our anonymous donor, and don't forget to subscribe, share, and support us here on Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.